Thank you. Welcome back to our study of Numbers. We have just been reading about the numbering of the nation of Israel. And as we go into this second session, I want to go ahead and give you a test question that you'll find. And this question is, the numbering of the nation of Israel, excluding the Levites, is actually a military census. So your key word is military. Let's pick up, please, with verse 45 of chapter 1. So were all those that were numbered of the children of Israel by the house of their fathers from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war in Israel. Even all they that were numbered were 600,000 and 3,000 and 550. So 603,550 were included in that census.
So you've heard a lot of people talk about the 603,550, but there's a lot more of that than Israel. Okay. That's the army.
Verse 47.
But think about it.
Oh, excuse me.
Over half a million army that's come out of Egypt, and this is their second year, basically a little over a year after they come out of Egypt. This is the size army they came out with. And when it gives you the number that came out, here again, it's a military census. It's so important to know that, because you're talking about multiplying. That nation had multiplied.
Mm-hmm.
God had kept his covenant to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Verse 47, but the Levites, after the tribe of their fathers, were not numbered among them. For the Lord had spoken unto Moses, saying, only thou shalt not number the tribe of Levi, neither take the sum of them among the children of Israel.
Now, a lot of people, go ahead, I interrupted you. Go ahead and read the next.
But thou shalt appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of the testimony, and over all the vessels thereof, and over all things that belong to it. They shall bear the tabernacle and all the vessels thereof, and they shall minister unto it, and shall encamp round about the tabernacle.
A lot of people read this and they say, well, you know, if you a preacher shouldn't go to war, this type thing, which is not what it says. I can disprove that easily, because the reason the tribe of Levi was chosen to minister before the Lord was because they're the one that Moses said, bear your sword, put your sword on, and you go through all these people, and you kill your brethren, okay? And so don't talk to me about conscientious objecting, this type thing. There is a time for peace. There is a time for war. And just because Levi was not numbered with these armies doesn't mean that none of the Levites ever went to war. As a matter of fact, the Ark of the Covenant was taken to the battle site. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Hophni and Phinehas, Eli's son, and the Ark of the Covenant was actually taken from the battlefield, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And so that stuff doesn't hold water that you hear people teach. Now, if, you know, I'm not, you operate by your convictions, but we don't need cowards. You understand? God's not looking for cowards, and the Levites certainly weren't cowards. Okay? Just thought I'd throw that in there, especially with some of the things that I've had said to me personally. I went into ministry so I wouldn't have to go to Vietnam. Well, I had a pastor to tell me that. Okay? So What a reason to go into ministry. I'll say, suck it up and go to Vietnam. You know what I'm saying? I don't understand that mentality of wanting someone else. You want to live in peace, but you want someone else to be the guardian. If the nation's worth living in and supporting you, then it's worth you fighting for. I'll get off my bandwagon. Okay. I am a patriot. Okay. I am a constitutionalist. Okay. And I am a combat veteran. Okay.
Okay.
So, and I make no apologies. Would you do it again 1,000 times over? Well, it was an unpopular war. Well, what war's popular? No, you do what you have to do.
That's right. Verse 51?
You probably ought to move on now that they know where I stand.
And when the tabernacle sitteth forward, the Levites shall take it down. And when the tabernacle is to be pitched, the Levites shall set it up. And the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death.
Now, you look at this. This tribe was set apart to take care of the things of God. The tabernacle and all these vessels. And so when they would break camp, no other tribe was allowed to go in and do anything with that tabernacle. That was exclusively for the Levites. And then you're going to find, as we move along in Numbers, that even with the Levites, they were divided into these four categories. The three sons, Kohath, Merari, Gershon. But then out of that, also Aaron. Aaron and his sons had duties. The Kohathites had duties. The Merarites had duties. The Gershonites had duties. And they were not interchangeable. Okay? And I'll probably say some more about that because the Lord really opened this up to me on church structure and showed me the violations in the church. Why the church has so many problems is because it's mob ruled. That's the basic thing. And if we understand what our role is, and we fulfill our role, and we keep our hands off of other people and let them fulfill their role, then things are done orderly. Things go smoothly. And when you look at the setting up camp and the breaking camp of the Israelites, I'm telling you, it's extremely incredible to me, just what I know through study. It would have been interesting to have watched that take place because the structure had to be set, the hangings had to be hung, and then all the vessels put in their proper place. And each one had their assignment. You just didn't do what you wanted to do. You did what you were told to do.
I have a little note here that we talked about some time ago. That there's a powerful principle embedded that if a stranger that come near tried to usurp and take over and do the job that they weren't set aside to do, that they were to be put to death.
Yeah, we'll, when we get into the actual job descriptions, we're going to talk about that in more detail because violation of your job description could cost you your life. And I'm talking about just in the tribe of Levi. As a matter of fact, you'll see a man die because protocol was not followed when David wanted the Ark of the Covenant in Jerusalem. David's heart was right. He wanted the presence of God in the city. But God doesn't bend the rules just because you want that. You want His presence in, you're going to do it His way. And this is where churches are in gross violation, is they followed the world, the out of covenant example of bringing the ark in on a cart, when God had ordained that that ark be carried on the shoulders of the priest. It's on a cart. But when Uzzah, even though the oxen stumbled and it sounded like a noble deed, the ark shook and he reached out to stabilize it. God had already said, nobody touches that ark. Even the Kohathites who carried that couldn't touch the ark. They only held the staves that went through the rings. And so when protocol wasn't followed and he touched that ark, he dropped dead. He violated God's divine order. You with me? And so, well, that's not fair. Why isn't it fair if you already told in advance and you violate what you're told? Are you going to blame God? God wants us following His Word. God wants us led by the Spirit. God's not bending rules for people. We'll talk about it later on when we get there, okay?
Okay, very good. Verse 52, and the children of Israel shall pitch their tents, every man by his own camp and every man by his own standard throughout their hosts.
Okay. So when he says every man is to pitch his tent by his what?
Standard. His own camp.
His own camp. What does that mean? Each tribe. In other words, your encampment, this tribe camped here. And this was ordained. This was an appointment. This tribe camps here. This tribe camps here. This tribe camps here. Now, each tribe had their own standard. A standard is a flag.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, in the military, you call it the standard. Okay? Now, if you think about that, it fits to a T. What does that mean? This is the standard of this nation. This is the standard of this tribe. You with me? And so, this flag says we operate under this standard. That's why it's called standard, okay? And so those tribes had their own encampment. And we're going to show you some things on the chart that Kinsey so graciously spent a great deal of time on that we borrowed from her here. We'll show you some things with this, okay? But everyone had their assignment. And what they did? They encircled the entire tabernacle.
Mm-hmm.
Three tribes east side, three tribes west side, south side, north side. But there had to be space between them and the tabernacle, and the Levites were between the people and the tabernacle by their family. The Kohathites and the Gershonites and the Merarites. But at the entrance of the tabernacle was Moses and Aaron, their families. Okay? The oversight guarded the entrance. That's a profound statement.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
That means they're responsible for what goes in and out. It's the oversight of a church that's responsible for what activity goes on in the church. The oversight is to allow God in and keep the devil out. But so many people don't want the oversight to keep the devil out. Well, God's love, embrace everything. No, you don't embrace everything. Of course you love the sinner, but you don't love the sin. And so your objective is to present salvation to the sinner, not to condone the lifestyle of the sinner. You don't let the sinner infiltrate the church by becoming a board member or whatever. I actually had a lady wanted me to put her husband on the board, and he wasn't even born again. What dog didn't hunt? No, that's not going to happen. God has a standard. Mm-hmm. Stay under your standard.
Yeah. Verse 53, but the Levites shall pitch round about the tabernacle of testimony, that there be no wrath upon the congregation of the children of Israel, and the Levites shall keep the charge of the tabernacle of testimony.
All right, you get this. I mentioned it already, but the one thing I didn't mention was so there would be no wrath on the nation. And so there actually is a cushion, a buffer, a mm-hmm. go-between.
Yeah.
Because God is not wanting those whom he has not appointed tampering with his stuff. But what happens in the modern day church? Those whom God has not appointed wants to tamper with God's stuff. And so the congregation, well, I think it ought to be like this. Well, I think it ought to be like that. Well, God doesn't care what you think. God says, this is the way, walk in it. It's not what you think. It's what God thinks. And we have to learn to follow God's way. Now, when the oversight enforces that, people think he's dictatorial. But I can tell you that if you operate by God's standard, the government of God, if the kingdom of God is ruling the church, it will be theocratic, not democratic, not dictatorial. It will be God speaking to the oversight and the oversight telling the congregation what God said. How did God speak to the nation of Israel? He only spoke through Moses. And then he would tell Moses, you go tell them, even Aaron, the priest, the high priest, you tell Aaron. It wasn't Aaron that anointed all the people. It was Moses who anointed Aaron. You with me? God sets an oversight, and God speaks to the oversight, and then God expects the oversight to say exactly what he says. Don't add to, don't take away. And that oversight is held accountable to God. And you see this in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. When you look at the seven churches of Asia. Unto, King James Version says, angel, that's horrible. Unto the messenger of the church. And he lists each church individually. Right. Now listen to this. I have something against you. Now why would he have something against the oversight? Because you're allowing this activity to take place. And so there is great responsibility on the oversight for the activity that takes place in the church. And people don't realize that. But with that responsibility comes accountability to where you can shirk your responsibility, but you cannot get out of the accountability. we will face God. What did you do with that authority and responsibility that I gave you? Were you abusive? Were you neglectful? Or did you do what I told you to do? And so we'll all be brought into account. Now, to teach that, people, it sort of ruffles their feathers, especially if they've been in the democratic setting. Well, it's our church. I'll say, well, if it's your church, I need to go where Jesus is. Jesus said he would build his church. I don't have a church. You follow me? I am a part of the church that Jesus is building. I'm a member of that body. You follow me? And we get caught up in this religious system. And then the religious system rejects the Lord Jesus Christ as the head of the church. Oh, it'll talk about him. But look at what they did with Jesus. The Sanhedrin. The elite of the elite that's running the religious system, they rejected the Son of God. You look at what's going on today in churches today, they're rejecting the Son of God from being the head of the church. No, we'll do whatever these people say. And we don't do what God says. So what happens? Then God's kingdom is not established in that church. God's not ruling that church. Well, how is God going to rule that church? By the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit. That's how God rules the church. Not by opinion. Not by vote. It's ruled by the Word and by the Spirit. That's why you have to learn structure. That's why you have to learn God's protocol and follow God's structure and protocol. And that doesn't make you popular. I do what I do out of fear of God. People think, well, you know, you just do what you want to. No, I don't do what I want to. Because I told the Lord a long time ago I didn't want a pastor. But he didn't buy into that. And I was smart enough to say nevertheless. You follow me? And so there's tremendous responsibility on the one that God sets as the oversight of an organization, a church, or whatever we call it. There's a great responsibility on you to spend time with the Lord and to hear the Lord. Get your messages from the Lord. Not from the internet. Not from a commentary. Not out of your own imagination. But listen to the Spirit. Keep yourself saturated with the Word of God and let God talk to you. And then let God say what he wants to say to the people. And it'll be God talking. He'll just be speaking through your mouth, but it's the Lord talking. You follow me? I could say a lot to that, okay? Because I've seen so many violations in this thing. And I can tell you that when you follow God's protocol, things work smoothly. When you violate it, you just opened up a can of worms for yourself. Now, it's not that following God's protocol is smooth sailing all the time. There's an enemy out there. And the devil is the most faithful church attender you'll ever have. And he'll jump on a good person's shoulder. And he'll use good people that don't even know they're being used because they're ignorant of the Word of God. That's why it's so important to know the Scriptures.
Very good. And that 54th verse,
Which one?
54. And the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses.
Well, so I like that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did it this time. They did everything the Lord said. The Lord said, count this way. They count this way. The Lord says, do this. They did that. And you'll find that even though in their rebellion, they're still following that protocol of encampment. They're still following that protocol as far as assignment. Now, you'll see an individual such as Korah who decided, well, I'm of the tribe of Levi. Who do you think you are, Moses? Who do you think you are, Aaron? I'm a Korahite just like you guys are. So I can offer incense to the Lord. It cost him his life. You understand? He wasn't content with the position that God had put him in. You understand the Korahites carried the holy things. They couldn't look at them. They were already wrapped up by the priest. And then the priest would say, all right, you carry that. You carry that. Well, don't you think that it is a tremendous honor to be selected by God to carry the holy thing on your shoulder? And then you want to be the ruler? People aren't content with what God's called them to do. Know what God's called you to do and be happy, happy, happy. You understand? There's no big I's and little U's in all this. It's just the fact of being positioned where God wants you and doing what God wants you to do in whatever that position may be. If it's the custodian of the church, then it's an honorable position. Do it with excellence. And don't see it as something inferior. And this is where we mess up. We want to say, well, this person is more important than that person. No, everybody's important. The main thing is to do what God's called you to do. Amen?
Amen.
Did we get through that chapter?
Yes, sir.
We're right on time, so we'll stop here so you guys can take the test. We don't want to deprive you of that, you know. And before you do, those who aren't taking the test will speak the blessing over, and you're free to leave it at your leisure, okay? Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed to enlarge our territory. Your hand's with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. The Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered and those who hate you be before you. Amen.
Amen.
Guys, have a great rest of the week.